The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Saturday's upset of Penn State. And the fallout from Trevor Lawrence's comments regarding his future continues. Is Lawrence afraid he'd end up with the Jets come April's draft? We'll talk about that. But first, we go out of the tunnel. LSU's Ed Orgeron does not believe quarterback Miles Brennan will play Saturday at Auburn. This is due to an abdomen injury. The defending champs now just 2-2 this season. And Saturday's game between number 9 Wisconsin and Nebraska now canceled. The Badgers have paused all team-related activities for 7 days due to new COVID-19 cases, including head coach Paul Chris. Happy to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Wendy Nix with Todd McShay and David Pollack. We do start with Wisconsin. Again, 12 new COVID cases has caused the Badgers to shut down and pause all team activities for a minimum of 7 days. That does mean this weekend's game, previously scheduled against Nebraska, has now been canceled. Senior college football writer Adam Rittenberg joins us now. He's been following this situation in Madison closely. And Adam, let's talk about the concerns going forward. Nebraska now no more, but then a week from now, or a week from Saturday, it would be Purdue.
Right, it would be, Wendy, and I think that game is very much in doubt. Neither Barry Alvarez nor Paul Chris could say definitively when this pause in activities will end. So will it be next Wednesday? Will it get back on the field? Not until next Thursday. That's not a whole lot of time to prepare for the Purdue game, and we don't know if there'll be additional positive tests among players, which would obviously remove those players from being able to play in that game. So, you know, Barry Alvarez saying today this was Wisconsin's decision. They didn't quite reach that threshold where it would be automatic cancellation, but because of the rise in positive tests since the Friday game against Illinois, Wisconsin chose to cancel this game, and it'll be a no contest with Nebraska this weekend.
Adam, thank you. And again, the Big Ten with a bit harsher protocols in some conferences, a 21-14. So the future very much in question for Wisconsin. Meanwhile, Paul Feinbaum, not one bit happy with the Big Ten. Here he is a little bit earlier today on First Take.
And they put what I think is a ridiculous 21-day protocol. Everyone else in sports, it's either 10 to 14 days. That's the CDC guideline. They offered 21. So you're playing an 8-game season plus one at the end of the season with the championship game. And there are no bye weeks, guys. None. So a team like Wisconsin, who is a threat to be a divisional champ and play Ohio State in the title game, they're done now. I'm not saying the entire program would be shut down for 3 weeks, but their quarterback will be out for 3 weeks. They have Michigan at the end of that. But the Big Ten got what they wanted. They did this so Ohio State could have a legitimate shot at winning the national championship, and now they're paying the piper.
Well, look, the Big Ten, we knew it was going to be a challenge trying to play 8 games in 8 weeks with no open dates, so really no wiggle room at all, David. But the interesting thing about Wisconsin, of course, is they're a top 10 team and could very much have been in the mix for the college football playoffs. So now one less game at least to make their case. Where does that leave things?
Well, I mean, we got to consider why we're where we're at, right? Like, the Big Ten decided to cancel their season. They decided not to revisit it. They decided to that, obviously, for player safety. And then when they came back, they kind of messed up, and they were like, wait a minute, all right, we are going to come back, but we're going to put these guidelines in place, and they're going to be really, really strict because player safety is huge to us because we dropped the ball basically earlier. That's basically what this all means. So I don't know why they have the 3 week as opposed to 10 to 14 days like the CDC tells everybody else to do, or like everybody else in the world is doing. But I think it's just it's not been managed really well. And when you look at this point and how it's going to affect Wisconsin, obviously it's going to affect them and their chances with every quarterback that's on their roster that's being quarantined and taken away from the game. So it's part of doing business and the rules that they set up and the delay that they chose to have. And it's just going to come with the territory now.
And the interesting part, too, is you have to play six games. That's in the rules, unless the average for the whole conference is below six games, which I can't imagine will be the case. So they've got to play six games, and now they're losing one. And if they lose, if they don't play the Purdue game, that, now you're down to six. So it's going to be tight in that area. And the other thing is you got Graham Mertz, who just was unbelievable in his first start as a freshman quarterback, 20 of 21 against Illinois. And he's now going to be out for 21 days. Jack Cohn, who was going to be their starter, had a foot injury. So Wisconsin is, from a quarterback standpoint, right now, it's a mess. And you just think, can
hey,
they
Todd,
continue to
I got
win
some good news,
with
though.
Their basically their third string?
I got some good news about that rule, though. You know how they made that rule about, you know, playing in the Big Ten championship game? They can change it. We've done a good job with that with the Big Ten. They've changed a lot of rules throughout this whole offseason and changed their mind a bunch. So they can probably just change their mind and fix it.
It's a good point.
Well, look, guys, I mean, that is a good point, but it's also been, of course, part of the problem. We say that tongue firmly in cheek because, again, they decided to cancel the season, and I think when they came back, wanted to make it very clear that they probably didn't want to be playing football in the first place. But, again, they're not alone. Let's take a look at the notable Power 5 games that have been postponed or canceled. But the difference, of course, is remember the SEC has open dates for makeup games as opposed to the Big Ten. Again, trying to, or were trying to, play eight games in 8 weeks. And Dan Mullen's Florida program has had its share of COVID-related issues as well.
I'm graduating in December. This was kind of planning on this being my last season. Just really excited to have one more with my brothers, with my teammates, my coaches that I've grown so close to over the past 3 years.
If there's anything that would make you reconsider coming back to Clemson for another year?
I don't know. I mean, we'll just have to see how things unfold. I think there's a lot of factors in that, but honestly, just really playing this year, putting everything I have into it, not really focusing on next year, whether, you know, I leave or stay or whatever. Obviously, I have the option to do either one. Kind of my mindset's been that I'm going to move on, but who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen.
All right, fellas, you know it's a big day when we have Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay on a Wednesday afternoon. But, Mel, listen, I think Trevor Lawrence got people's attention because the assumption is, and in all likelihood, he will leave Clemson. But, listen, there sounds like there's some real concerns about where he may end up. The Jets likely to have the number one overall pick. What'd you make of what he said?
I think he made it about the team and not about him, Wendy. I think I respect that decision tremendously in the comments that he made. It's late October. It's not mid-January on a calendar. He doesn't even have to talk about that. You have to be laser-focused. This team lost four starters on the offensive line. Their top two receivers, one to the NFL and T. Higgins with the Bengals, the other Justin Ross because of injury. He wants to get back to the Final Four. He wants to win a national title. He won it as a freshman. Last year ended with that bitter pill to swallow, losing to LSU. Joe Burrow outplayed him by miles. Joe Burrow was playing great in the NFL with the Bengals, who have a bad offensive line and a bad defense. He sees all that. He wants to get back there and win it and keep it all about the team, not about him and his NFL future.
I love hearing your voice, bud. It's been too long.
I hear you,
but
pal.
Here's the thing. I talked to Trevor before the first game of the year against Wake Forest, and it was cut and dry that this was his last year. I asked him, you know, did you think about opting out? And he said, I did think about it. But once they told me I could win a championship, I decided to come back. But I'm approaching this year, is what he said, as if this is my last year. So something seems to be changing, whether it's not wanting to go to the New York Jets or whatever his mindset is. It seems like something's there. And there's a reason that he was kind of tripping over the answer as he said it. So it's interesting to me. We'll see. I mean, we've seen, you go back to John Elway, Eli Manning. I mean, guys have tried to manufacture where they go in the draft if they're going to be one of the top picks. Maybe that's the case, but I have not talked to him in the last few weeks, and I really don't know what his mindset is.
I think what changes, Todd, is you get in the grind. You get in the season, and you have to answer these questions, and you don't want to answer these questions over and over, and you kind of just get – it gets monotonous. Mm-hmm. It gets mundane, and you don't want to hear about it. And so I think that's part of it. But, listen, if he's deciding on whether he wants to leave or not, on who's at the top of the draft, the teams at the top of the draft are always there because they suck, okay? The Jets might be there again next year. You can't control that. You can't control that in any year because it could happen the next year and the next year and the next year. So that's not what he needs to focus on. He needs to focus on himself. He needs to focus on playing, having fun, enjoying his college experience, trying to win a championship. And I think when you get caught up in the monotonous every day and doing all that stuff, I think you kind of lose focus a little bit, or you lose your thought a little bit, or your way a little bit. But I don't have any doubts at the end of the season, especially if they win a championship, he walks off into the sunset and becomes the number one pick.
I'm with you, David. I think it's awfully early to start trying to manipulate the draft. We're only late October, and he's got games. He's got a game in 10 days at South Bend, Notre Dame Stadium, against the Fighting Irish. Then you talk about the Final Four, and the New York Jets, they have a great left tackle potentially in Mekhi Becton. They have some receiving entities. Denzel Mims going to improve. P. Ryan at running back showing progress. You don't worry about that. The Jets are picking number one. Hey, Joe Burrow went to the Bengals. Look what he's doing with, like I say, a bad offensive line and a bad defense. You go play in New York, you get the Jets right in there. You're going to be in a division with Tua and Josh Allen. We'll see what the Patriots do down the road, but I don't think he'll shy away. I think he's too competitive to shy away from going to the Jets, and it's way too early to read anything into that because it's way too early to start worrying about manipulating the whole draft.
I agree, and I that's something you work with your family and an agent when it comes to that time, but it's not even close to that time. He's focused on the right thing. He's focused on Clemson, but I'll say this. You at the end of this year, when you're looking at $32, $33 million in guaranteed money, you're going to walk away from Clemson as much as you love him, as much as you love your brothers and want to play. He's going to wind up going to the NFL. And maybe the Jets trade out if they're at the number one overall spot. They've got two first-round picks this year, two first-round picks the next year. So there's a lot of things that can happen between now and then. But $32 million, $33 million, you don't walk away from that.
No, Todd, I think the last thing that we remember with Trevor is 48.6%, lowest completion percentage of his career against that LSU defense in that championship game. He wants to get back, I'd say, laser focused. He lost all those players. He knows it's a challenge. He's got Rodgers playing real well. He's got Etienne in the backfield. He needs to have this team all behind him. It can't be about Trevor, and it never will be. He's not that kind of kid. It's about this Clemson Tiger team. He's in a Heisman Trophy race. He's got a chance to be number one and win a national title. Why worry about the NFL in late October? It would make no sense to talk about that right now.
No sense at all, Mel. You always make sense. Happy to have you. And David, I always worry about you sitting the fence. I'm glad to see you finally, you know, went out on a limb today and told it like it was. I appreciate it. Always wanted to shy away from the truth. All right, weekend. Listen, still to come on College Football Live. It was the upset of the weekend. We are thrilled to have with us Indiana head coach Tom Allen. He'll talk about his Hoosiers and how they took down Penn State in dramatic fashion.
Say, except thanks. We're going to football. What a day.
Down to 22 seconds to play against the number 8 team in the country. FedEx track set to draw. Does he have the leg? He does not.
Take his chances in the overtime.
FedEx.
Roy on the field stands, touchdown.
Amazing finish. For the first time since 1987, Indiana has knocked out a top 10 team.
Oh boy, that win for Indiana snapped a 41-game losing streak against AP top 10 teams, the longest losing streak by a Big Ten team in the AP poll era. And prior to beating Penn State, the Hoosiers' last win against the top 10 team all the way back in 1987 against a then 8th-ranked Ohio State. Joining us now, Indiana head coach Tom Allen. His Hoosiers ranked number 17 in no small part because of a big win over Penn State. Coach, take us through the final few minutes of that game in regulation and in overtime.
Well, Wendy, I tell you what a game. What a finish. It's just, there was a point there with about a minute 47 to go, and we had just gotten a fourth down incomplete pass, and things weren't looking very good, and so we turned the ball over on downs, and they had the football. We allowed them to score, and they scored, and it put us down by eight, and then that's when it all began. So we had to drive 75 yards, and as the whole country saw, and make them plays, going for two, send it to overtime. And then they got the ball first. They scored. That put us down by seven. And at that point, I knew I wanted to go for two. So when we scored that touchdown to Walt Fillier, we decided, and I told the staff on second down prior to that, I said, guys, get another two-point play ready. Let's go win this thing.
I love the call. Sometimes you got to go big or go home. And, Coach, obviously it worked out well. And then let's talk about the celebration. You're one brave man, I got to tell you.
Well, I'm just glad they caught me. It wasn't planned. You just in the moment. I love these guys, man. There's just so much passion and so much emotion at the end of that game. It's just been such a long journey to get here, and we're still building for sure, but just so much love in that locker room, and man, you could just feel it, and the guys start going crazy. I just took a step back off the steps I was on and just launched into the crowd, and they caught me and had a little fun with that, but what a special, special moment, one we'll never forget.
Well, I said you're brave. You may very well be lucky as well. But listen, I have to ask you, you weren't the only sort of viral celebration we saw over the weekend. Stephen F. Austin, of course, Colby Carthel, the head coach there, took his shirt off just right there on the field. Did you happen to see that?
I did. I saw it on social media. Matter of fact, my daughter sent it to me. And she's like, hey, Dad, don't ever do this. But bottom line is that, he's got a lot of passion too, but that was pretty bold to rip his shirt off. I'm not sure I would be that brave.
Words to live by. Don't do that. Let's switch gears for just a minute, because it's obviously a tough thing. You probably saw the news that Wisconsin and Nebraska will not play that game. It is now canceled, of course, due to COVID-19. Coach, what do you think when you see that and understand that it might not, it might be the first of many situations like this?
Of course, it's all too real for all of us. And just thoughts and prayers to Paul, Chris and his health. That's the number one concern, and the players that have it as well. And it's just something we deal with every day. It's a constant challenge, a constant battle. We're tested every single day. It doesn't guarantee, as this proves, that you still can't get it on your team. It can't spread. So just very, very, high level of caution and protocols that we have to stay with and have to stay disciplined and make a lot of sacrifices to make sure we can keep our team healthy. So a very fragile time for sure. And there's a lot of uncertainty even for the near future.
Coach, you obviously want to celebrate a win like the one you had last weekend, but the thing about football really at any level is that the next week comes so quick, and your next opponent, Rutgers, also had an upset win. So how do you caution your team not to look past what you have to do on Saturday?
Well, when you're trying to build something, it was definitely a huge win for our program and a very, very big win, but it was just one game, and so regardless of what happened on Saturday night, we're going to come back and play again. And Vincent, very improved, as you mentioned, Rutgers football team. The coach Shiano's done a tremendous job in a very short amount of time. And we're on the road, So bottom line is we got to be focused. That's our one word for this week is the word focus. And this is going to be a new test for us to be able to play after a huge upset win and allow us to be able to show on a consistent basis that we deserve to be there.
Certainly a good problem to have, Coach. Best of luck. We'll be watching, and stay safe.
Thanks so much, Wendy. Appreciate it. Have a great day. Elio.
Up next, just one game into this year's Heisman candidacy, our draft guru, Todd McShay, shows you why Justin Fields may be even better this time around. Stay with us.
A scary good matchup on Halloween night. As the Buckeyes creep into Happy Valley under a full moon, get ready for chills on Saturday Night Football.
Plenty of football this Halloween weekend. However, time now for What's Your Beef, brought to you by Old Trapper. We'll start with my friend David Pollock. What stood out, David, from this past weekend?
Give me some Cincinnati. You know what? There's a new leader in the clubhouse for the American. Cincinnati just told SMU to go sit down and sit at the little kids' table. Desmond Ridder was running all over the place. We know Cincinnati plays really good defense. If Ridder plays like this consistently, Cincinnati is going to win the American. And who knows where they get ranked by the end of the season, because they might be one team that plays 8 games, 9 games, 10 games. Some other teams might only get 4 or 5. So who knows what might happen.
Yeah, Luke Fickell's got him rolling. I'm going to Justin Fields, though. I mean, this guy, he waited and was patient and waited for his turn. And he didn't say that, hey, I'm going to opt out and then come back in. He was just like, I'm going to wait to find out. And Ohio State came back in, and the conference is playing. And he comes out in the first game against Nebraska and goes 20 for 21. Are you kidding me? And the incompletion could have been caught.
That's okay.
I mean, he was on fire. The anticipation, getting the ball out on time, ball placement, extending plays. He did everything that you want to see from a quarterback. And I think if it continues like this, it's going to go 1-2. We talk about Trevor Lawrence going number one overall. It'll be Fields right after him if he keeps playing like this.
Well, I mean, the bad thing is, Todd, you take all the stock and you're going to do stock up, stock down, so-and-so soaring. He can only go down from here, though. That's a big problem now. That's really – completion percentage is just going to tank from here on in. I just feel bad for Justin.
I know. Tough life.
Listen, yeah, 20 to 21? What happened to the one time? Let me ask you this, because it was among our top stories today, with Wisconsin having to pause all team activities for 7 days. I mean, look, the Big Ten, 21 days, guys got to sit out. What do you think happens? How does this play out in the Big Ten?
Well, I think like David said before, like they may adjust the rules and how it all plays out. But you right now, according to what the conference has said, is that you have to play 6 games, a minimum of 6. So Wisconsin is in a tough spot. And now they don't have their starting quarterback. They don't have their backup quarterback. So they've got to go try to win with basically your number 3.
Listen, it's the world we live in. We knew we'd expect some obstacles, and we got it. I know, right out of Central Casting, that name, by the way. I can't get over it. See you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.
Boom.